Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we want to acknowledge the truth of the song we're singing, that you are here and all things are possible. And we admit that we have looked at certain definite areas wherein we have been pleased to acknowledge it and hunger for it and want it and look for a fulfillment. We have heard the prophet say, what you did here in the days of your flesh, you're doing here now upon earth, even to the extent of saying that you had more success in his own body, as it were, than you had in your own when you were here on earth, but it was your ministry doing it. And yet, Lord, we know that there is another side too, and there is that side wherein, Lord, you stood here knowing your crucifixion was at hand, knowing that you would be betrayed by men and turned over to Satan. And there stood Judas, and you literally encouraged him to go right ahead and do what he was going to do. And we see Brother Branham also knew the same. He said, I know who my Judas is, and he encouraged those very people to go right ahead. And so, Lord, there are lessons we need to learn in this day and this hour to encourage you to go right ahead, Lord, in our hearts, minds, and lives, and we encourage those things that would come against us, just go ahead. It's all right, because it's the will and the plan of Almighty God. Not to rise up, not to be a flustered, as Brother Brandon called it, frustrated, and these things, Lord, but to walk in that same spirit he had, knowing that out of death comes life as it has never come before. Even as you were that begotten Son, that you came forth way back in the pre-existent age of the specks of stardust and those things, you were begotten again from the dead. And that was the greatest, because now exalted. And Father, we know that that's what the church is standing for in this last hour. We pray that we may stand there in this way, Lord. Give us more than sentiment, O God. Give us more than pleasant thoughts. Give us more than nice ways. Give us reality. These are the things we desire. Help us to see them, Lord, somehow, some way. Let it come through this word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated. We are engaged in looking at number 9 in Satan's Eden. And just before we start to read, and hopefully we'll get to the place where we can read beyond what we have studied on page 5, we're up to page 5. And I can promise you that after today we'll be able to read much, much more rapidly. Now, last Sunday, we made note, we took particular care to notice and emphasize the biblical principle of the parallelism of Scripture, which is what I call it, and it emphasizes what Brother Branham continuously taught and brought to our attention in what he called twins, the twins. It started in the Garden of Eden as twins, twin spirits, and now is again manifest in this age. And those two spirits are so close that only the very elect can tell them apart, so that all but the elect embrace the Antichrist spirit and worship Satan. Now, you know that that took place in the garden. Now, let's just, before we look at that, I want to draw to your attention for the last 3 years or better, I have invariably brought to your attention what I consider to be the second most important principle that Brother Branham gave us, number one being Alpha and Omega. It starts in Genesis, it ends in Revelation. If you cannot find it in Genesis, it will never be in Revelation. You are either reading something into the Bible or reading something out of the Bible or misinterpreting what is in the Bible, and you can't deal with it. Now, his statement was, you do not bear or make the principle of putting your attention on what is in the middle. You look at the beginning and the end. And my statement was, if you find a log, and it's a straight log, a piece of timber, and the end is oak, and the beginning is oak, it's oak. You don't need to pay particular attention. Now, Alpha and Omega is the first and distinct principle of what happened in the garden, what happened down the road in junctures, and you watch where it ends, and you can see if the end is like the beginning, it is the end time. Now, that's all there is to it. So you understand the principle. Now, as I said, knowing in my subconscious from what Brother Branham taught, I have used my own terminology, the parallelism of Scripture, which signifies there are two parallel lines, and if two parallel lines actually mean there are two lines that are always equal distance apart, which never bend or ever meet. Now, you wrap that around the world, or around a sphere. And if you run parallel lines around the world, making that as a matter of time, as we know it, you will have two lines which never come together. You follow what I'm saying? They can never bend. They can never cross. One cannot be the other. So, the principle of twins, in my term, parallelism of Scripture, one, God and Satan. Two, light and darkness. Three, good and evil. Four, life and death. Five, righteousness, unrighteousness. Six, truth and error. Seven, blessing, judgment. Eight, Jesus, Judas. Nine, son of man, son of perdition. Ten, heaven and hell. 11, New Jerusalem, lake of fire. Now that's just some of it. All of that is in there. And you cannot countenance one without the other. And you cannot misplace them as concerning time, because they're twins. Now, one twin may be born as much as 6 weeks apart and have two separate fathers. But they're twins. And they come from one mother. And Eve is the mother of all living. Not only scientifically, biologically, generically, genetically, spiritually also. All right. Then never allow that to skip your thinking. If it is Christ, there is Antichrist. If there is truth, there is error. If there is healing, there is sickness. If there is life, there is death. And I don't care what you say, but always the good is there ahead of the evil, because the evil is nothing but a perversion of the truth, even as a lie is a perversion of truth. But remember, and I must keep drawing your attention to this, or you will mess up like everybody has messed up. And I have my problem, so I know, except for you people who came from a church where you had no understanding of anything, particularly the Catholics, and you are in far better shape than a Protestant. because you had the good sense to listen and not get your minds all crossed up. And I can tell you, twins come at the same time, even weeks apart. But twins are twins, signifying a time element that you cannot move out of. You understand what I'm saying? You Catholics do, but you Protestants don't, because I have a job myself. And I pride myself on this, that I am one of the few people that came out of Pentecost, and Pentecost came out of me. Now, my good brothers and sisters, you sit here this morning, and you might not agree with me. I don't care two bits if you don't. I'm right and you're wrong. It's just that simple. And over the years, I've proved some of you wrong. You thought you understood, but you didn't. And you're having a job right now this morning to identify the twins as two direct forces, no matter how those forces manifest, and they are here and at the same time. And one has to come ahead of the other. And God was ahead of Satan. And life is ahead of death. And righteousness is before unrighteousness, but they're twins. Now, if I am supposed to be a teacher, and I can take the scripture, weave it back and forth, according to how Brother Branham placed that ministry, and according as other things that he said about me, which I hold to. You can do what you want about it. This is my pen. It's not yours. You ain't going to get it. I talk rough, but I mean it. I look you all in the eye this morning. I don't care two bits what you think. In this pulpit, outside the pulpit, I do. Up here, if you don't like it, go back. I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but I want you to know where I stand. It's taking me years, years to understand the simplicity of Brother Branham's message. But it always comes to the point where I have gotten it and will get it. It took me years to recognize the principle of twins. And I still haven't really recognized it on the grounds that it hasn't consumed me. And unless the fire of God, the Holy Ghost, consumes the sacrifice, it is not accepted of God. And the first thing you and I need, brother, sister, is not that which I just said, but we need the Holy Ghost in a sanctifying power to clean out all the dross, which number one is mental dross. A mind that is full of lies. Twins, always twins. Multiple birth. And all was in a season, because there's a time to sow and a time to reap. And Eve allowed her body to be sown by two seeds. Now let's get this flat. Satan wanted a seed. Satan wanted a man. What did he want the man for? To be sons of Satan. Why did he want the sons to have a kingdom? And for people to make him their father. Now just think in your mind how he went about doing it. So let us sink in this morning. We got all the time in the world. I'm in no rush, if you're in a rush. I'm sorry for you. Sit right there where you belong. Sit here and think about it. He started to get what he wanted. Twins. Remember Pentecost. The Spirit of Jesus came back. Brother Branham called it the soul, which is already, don't carry that too far. The Spirit of Jesus came back. It's called the Holy Ghost. Upon the church, but also the spirit of Judas came back, making the spirit of Christ and Antichrist twins. Right? Right. Now, the word Antichrist is not etymologically, correctly defined as against. It's instead of. By being instead of, it is against. So you see, Satan deliberately took God's place. He was instead of God bringing the word and bringing forth through a male instrument, an animal. Bringing forth his children. And when Cain rose up against Abel, he killed him for one reason. Not that he was against Abel. He was against God. And he took Abel's place. And he said, now I am it. That's why when Seth was born, Eve said, I have another seed. Speaking and knowing that she had mothered two different races. Now, the wheat and the tares predicted by Jesus came forth at Pentecost and after Pentecost, and they will continue together until they be separated at the time of the harvest, and the time of the harvest is where the dirty eagles are gathered over the carcass in Matthew 24, and the clean eagles are gathered over the carcass in Luke 17, which is, as we will see, according to the prophet, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now notice, my brother, my sister, how Brother Branham taught the seals as he brought them to us in Revelation, the 6th chapter. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come see. Look at this. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay. What do you notice here? According to Brother Branham, this was the spirit of Antichrist, which first appeared in the Ephesian church age, wherein the spirit of the Antichrist had already taken form by inducing the clergy to organize and take an undue authority over the people. Known as Nicolaitanism. the Spirit was there. Now, that Spirit gets in a man that they elect to be their representative, and they put a crown on him. Now, we are speaking of religion. Show me one religion outside of Catholicism that wears a crown. Now, come on. They're nice people. I got no problem. But see, I'm not a nice person. And I don't intend to be. Nice people don't only come and last. Now, DeRocher never actually said that. Or was it Casey? Was it Norm? You know, was it? Which one was it? Never mind. It's one of them anyway. I tell you one thing. Nice people all go to the lake of fire. Because if you don't stand for something, you will fall for everything. The white horse rider turns into a red horse rider. And, of course, he became a killer. The black horse turned it into a great paying business, which laid the foundation for the great basilicas and temples and churches that there's not enough money in the world and not enough talent to ever produce another St. Peter's. The gates in front of the altar in the big basilica in Mexico City. The Catholics boast, as far as I know, my figures are right, 22 gates of 22 tons of pure gold, or either it's 15 gates of 22 tons, or vice versa, not counting what's behind. They begin selling their indulgence and everything else until you had to buy your salvation. Then there was the black horse. I mentioned him, which is your commercial. And number four was the brindle, when they were all poured into one, and Brother Branham said, he rides out into eternity. Now remember this statement. Now, at this particular time of the four seals, identified by the four phases of Antichrist, through seven church ages, there is found in the book of Revelation, out of chapter 4, it doesn't matter where it is, chapter 4, there were four beasts, the lion, the lamb, the man, and the eagle. Under the lion, it went forth in power. Number two, revival had died as to what the first age was, and it wasn't going to repeat as a whole church age. It began to draw back into the spirit of martyrdom, the lowly Christ. Then it went to the face of the man, where the human mind became involved. And this is where you find men finally rose up, beginning with Luther, and said, this isn't sense. And the Catholics rode roughshod, killing millions and millions of Protestants, I suppose 60 million, and the same spirit of hell came upon Joe Stalin, another Catholic, to destroy people left and right. And the spirit of man finally rose up to the place of where there was a Khrushchev who wanted to get out of the mess, and the West would not listen. You read the books, you're going to find out. I caught that years ago, and it's right in the record today. They should have listened. But now, under Gorbachev, you have the human mind has risen to the capacity where it feels something must be done. Scientifically and courageously, something must be done. And it will be a human instrument. And I want to tell you, at the end of the age where the mind becomes the greatest, which is everything poured into one, the brindle horse. It's just like Mandela is loosed in Africa. What good does it do? He said, we're going to socialize certain things. Why does he want to socialize them? It's been proven it won't work. It's a brindle horse. It's a mess that rides into eternity. And at the time of that black horse, where it's all poured into one, which means the same thing that started in the book of Genesis. We will build a tower unto the heavens. Not up into the heavens. They weren't stupid. It was a religion to please everybody. It was a coming together. We'll be one. Now, what did God raise up at this time? An eagle. Against the whole termination of church history, an eagle comes forth, screaming in the heavens. That eagle, and God is likened unto an eagle, a prophet of God coming in this age, and remember, as the black horse and rider rides off into eternity. Now listen to my words and keep with them, because they're the prophet's words. As he rides off into eternity, then it's got to be the same with the spirit in the church. And when this spirit that's in the midst of us finishes his work, which was shout, voice, trumpet, the catching up to the incarnation, it will go into eternity. All right. What started in the Gentile bride church in Galatians, chapter 1 to chapter 3, then over to Galatians 4. I will tell you to put on two more tapes. We'll just quit when it's time to quit. I always was good at lying, you know. I'm the troll, everything else. So let's go to Galatians. Let's begin reading so you can see what I'm talking about. Now, this is better than going to Corinthians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, you can't read that. But by Jesus Christ, even God the Father, because it says God the Father raised somebody from the dead. So you hear where Paul takes us and Brother Branham took us. We are not oneness. We are not Trinity. Neither are we two-ness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the brethren which are with me in the churches of Galatia, that is a Gentile church, grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never get peace apart from grace. And you'll never get grace by itself. He always sends truth. Can't have one without the other. You know, it's just exactly what old Dinah Shore sang, fears, love, and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Even the songs of the world point to the Bible. They can't help themselves. You know why? Because God reigneth. People might not think so, but I'm happy about the fact God reigneth. I don't have any worry about the devil reigning. I just don't like his cotton picking, stinking barbs banging me around. Of course, the worst thing in the world is when people allow them to penetrate them, then they cause problems. Well, one day, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of grace unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Now remember, he told the Corinthian church, you have already got another gospel. And he nails this bunch down to the same thing. But there be some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, what is another gospel? It is a perversion. How can you tell a perversion? It is not what Paul preached. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. And now then, Paul is asking the question. I marvel that you are, how come you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the gospel of grace? I want to ask you a question. Was Paul talking about himself or Jesus? Now we must be very, very sweet people. And we must never give credit to anybody, because you see, that would, take glory from God. And the fellow might not be humble any longer. Don't be a stinking lousy hypocrite. Just admit the church is full of jealousy. Hey, nobody's trying to protect Paul. You go too far by talking about Paul and Brother Branham. I was over in Norway in 1975. The Finns came over to listen. And because I dared to talk about William Branham in the same breath as Jesus Christ, to talk about William Branham, prophet of God, vindicated by God through the Word, making manifest the truth that this one who should do it. They got a prayer meeting. And they prayed, I think, earnestly for God to kill Lee Vale. I'll look you people in the eye. You ain't kidding me. You ain't kidding God. And there's nobody on tape listening kidding me. I wasn't born yesterday. I got the same stinking passions you got. I got the same stinking judgment you got. I got the same stinking tendency you got. And I can read everyone like a book, because all I got to do is read myself. That's why Jesus came down to become a man, to know exactly firsthand what was going on. Which even omniscience couldn't do. Read every textbook about karate. And some mule will kick your head off who hasn't even read karate. You gotta practice it. You can't read about it. As we said before, say I now again, if any, now the word man is put in there, and it should not be put in there. Any voice that you hear, any angel that comes near, any vision, anything. Preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, and they got it from Paul. Let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Oh, Paul. Paul, you arrogant slob. Listen, Paul wasn't the same jerk as the jerks he was preaching to. Ever since I was a kid preacher, I've always had congregations. Not you people. We've grown up sinning. It wouldn't do you any good to be otherwise. I just tell you flat, forget it. But they always tried to make me feel like some poor little jerk. Some poor little jackass. They couldn't tell if Jack Bell said spit beans from buttermilk. Who couldn't come in out of the rain or the snow. Somebody so far gone every way that the stupid God, who had no brains here, made him a minister. And the churches always want to make me feel if I just left, they'd be all the better off. Let us sink in. Let us sink in. Let us sink in. I'm not Paul the Apostle. So you could forgive me if I was trying to throw off on you a bit about myself, but the truth of the matter is I'm not, because I don't care two bits. I'm Paul, I'm Lee Vale, the aged and the cruddy. John the Beloved, Paul the aged, Lee Vale the cruddy. I'm getting both old and cruddy, and I get cruddier by the time I get older. I'm not throwing off on anybody. I'm just telling you this is what they did to Paul. This is what they did to Jesus, to William Branham. They do to everybody. This started as the Alpha. This is the twin. Yeah. A twin rose up. He said, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached to me is not after man. Neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, for ye have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, that's his behavior, his way of life, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father, never mind the word of God, the father's traditions, Maimonides and all the rest of them, wherever they were, in Gamaliel. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. Apostles before him, but he was apostle. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother. And now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he was persecuted us in the time past. Now preach the same, preach the faith that he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Well, that's a boast, isn't it? God in him. God and the prophets. Did you get some person who doesn't even know he's got the genuine baptism, only anointed? He will stand up and say, God in that man. Who does he think he is? Two-bit skulls with two-bit brains. Leaves scattered by the wind. Grass that dies. Stands against the oak tree. The feather against the boulder. Look at me. And 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. It sounds like he wasn't circumcised, but evidently he was circumcised. They put such a pressure upon him, Paul had to grab him by the neck and cart him out. And here are these nice apostles. Here are these nice, fine men. And they said, circumcise him. And that'll make the gospel of Christ work. Well, come on. I'm telling you the truth. Are you getting it this morning? Yeah. This is ridiculous. A finished, omnipotent work needs something to make it work. I need something to make this message work. What are you talking about? Well, Brother Vale, we need you. You need me? You just cut your stupid throat right there.
You don't need me. You already got what you need.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
The prophet came. This is what's necessary. The fivefold ministry only carries on what the prophet gave. And if they don't carry it on, you are deceived and finished. Because you got another gospel. You're not going to make this message work through Lee Bailey or yourself or anybody else. The message contains the light. And Brother Branham said, nothing outside of this message will come to light. So this message is light. And if you have this message, you have light. And if you have light, you have this message or you're a liar. What more do you want? Unless you don't know what the message is. You know what the message is? Brother Branham said, the angel came to him and said, he said, John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ. So your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. And he said, in many places, I've got a commission. What was his commission? To bring a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. And what was the message? It was a ministry. Commission, a ministry. And he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And why aren't they preaching it? You ought to hear the phone calls I get, and you'll know something. Got a phone call just last night. Brother Phoney said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, nah. Well, he said, he talks about so-and-so. Oh, I said, yeah, you got his name wrong. His name isn't what you said it was, or something else. So what about him? Well, he said, he's coming up here now. I said, I told him to not go to the other place, but go to you. Well, he said, I think he's just finding it out. So he went to that preacher he's been sitting under, and he said, what about the presence? The preacher said, yeah, he said, I believe that. I covered that. One sermon. So this fellow in the church, this drifted from us, he'll get the tape. You know what I'm talking about. He'll hear this tape. Don't worry. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Don't leave. Sit here. If you think I'm wrong, get out of here. God, I hate stupidity in me and in you both. I'm not teaching truth. Find yourself somebody who is teaching truth. And if you think I'm teaching truth, word by word, then get here. Because it's life. I'm not trying to build a congregation. Look, forget it. All right. False brethren. If there's false brethren, there's true brethren. I get this from people. Some of you sitting here in this church might have said it. I don't think of why your relatives have said it. Who are we going to believe? Nobody's right. How do you have false if there weren't true to begin with? Why don't you start looking? If I didn't believe I was preaching the truth here, I'd quit. Sure I would. Find somebody. Get out fast. Noah built an ark in 120 years. The door was open. They dilly-dallied, shilly-shallied. They didn't care that he screamed judgment. No, it didn't bother them at all. But the door closed. I'm going to tell you something. If you weren't meant for this word, you're not going to get it. I wasn't meant for it, I'm not going to get it. Let's keep reading. I want to show you the twins. We got them right here. We got Paul the Apostle. Now, where do these birds come from? Paul is the Galatian man, the Ephesian man. Paul is that good boy. That lovable servant of Almighty God. Now, in verse 2, chapter 2, Revelation, I know thy works, you Ephesian church age, how you can't bear them which are evil. That's Cain and his evil work. He was worshiping God contrary to the word. Why? Because he was serpent seed. Well, come on. Was here, wasn't he? I'm mean and wicked, ain't I? I'm not angry at anybody. But brother, sister, listen to me. How long is it going to go on in your mind? How long before you make up your mind, you make a decision? Well, I won't say it. I'll hold you to next Sunday. But you've got to come to grips with yourselves, brother, sister. I'm getting too old. I ain't going to be here too long. You're wasting your time, some of you. It's a pitiful thing to say, but it's true. You can't bear them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. They were false apostles. And Brother Branham said those men in that first church age came and confronted those beezers and said to them, you are false apostles. He said, man, that was flat. In other words, went over like a lead balloon. They got angry. How dare you? Well, he said, you're not saying what Paul said. Amen. So, Brother Vail, you're not either. You're a liar. Read word by word and talk about it. And I'm going to tell you flat, Brother Branham warned, the same as the Scripture warns. It's the doctrine you watch out for. Because if you don't know the doctrine, I don't care how you quote the prophet, you will never get it right. Brother Branham told the Pentecostal flat, he said, you Pentecostal know nothing alongside of a Presbyterian. Twist you every old which way, don't know which way you're coming or going. Know that scripture historically, fundamentally, theologically, right down the line. And he turned around and said, you Baptist, you got money in the bank and can't write a check, and you Pentecostals write a check and you haven't got any money in the bank. Or vice versa, what it was. Yeah, the Baptists could write a check and had no money in it. Right down the line. Listen, let's keep reading. Now, this gospel, he profited in the Jews' religion, was zealous. When verse 15, when the priest God has set me in my mother's womb, called me by his grace to be his son in me, that I might preach amongst the heathen, me that I have conferred on flesh and blood, and so on, right in the second chapter, down up here, he said in the fifth verse concerning Timothy, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, not for 5 minutes. In fact, they hadn't opened their mouth, but Paul stood in his high horse and went at him. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat. Sarcastic old goat, ain't he? Hard-bitten old flea bag, ain't he? Here's the man that came out of king's palaces. Here's the man in soft raiment. Here's the guy with the education. Here was the up-and-coming red-blooded blue boy of the first century. Now he hasn't even got a proper garment on. He gets so cold, he said, tell him to bring my cloak. I'm freezing in the dungeon. Struck down by God, struck down by mankind. Hated. Not for anything he did, but how he believed and how he said what he believed. Well, he was a tough old cookie. He's the kind of guy you wouldn't bite or you'd break your teeth on him. He was tough. He talks about these false brethren came in unawares. They were brought in. Nobody knew just how they got in and who they were. Three kinds of believers sitting in the church. They wanted to spy out the liberty. In other words, what is your real freedom in Christ? How do you really stand? How come you get by without us? How do you think you're going to escape our net? Hey, look, if anybody's got it, we've got it. You better come to us or we'll see that you go nowhere. That's where it started. Governing the people, trying to rule them. See, we didn't give place to those guys for a minute. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man, person, yours, mine, anybody else's. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, this guy was a real drummer. He could turn them around. When they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And he said, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, everybody knows the supernatural vindicated ministry. I've got to prove that I've got the truth. William Branham stood in the pulpit like this. There's that little man right there, bald head and all. And he said, Jesus Christ had more success in my ministry than he had in his own when he was here on earth. Oh, brother, sister, people go by as though nothing has happened. And when James and Cephas and John were seen to be pillars and perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen to the circumcision. Only they would we should remember the poor, and the same also I forward to you to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Here's Peter. Here's Peter, the man with the revelation said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where was his revelatory power when he faced Paul? He didn't recognize Christ in Paul, God in Paul. I don't mind that. I don't mind at all. And you know how Peter got convinced? Right to the Word went the Apostle Paul. Showed what it was. A vindicated man for the first church age. For that before a certain men came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. He sure did. That's in the book of Acts. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision. Wanted to keep his good name. I'm a Jew, bless God. See, look, I'm circumcised myself. The other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away at the dissimulation. So Paul threw him out. You talk about a tough old buzzard. Barnabas, you're allowed one fault. You did it. It was nice knowing you. He said, now, hold it. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, to the work that I have called them. Barnabas blew it. He didn't stay with the work. What was the work? Grace. He blew it. He laid down the revelation. He added one word, circumcision. Now, the word circumcision is all right if applied to the heart. That's good. But I got something else to tell you. Unless your minds have been circumcised, your hearts will never be. How can you be circumcised? Only by the Word. Because circumcision is a picture of sanctification. And only the Word of God can sanctify. Nothing else can. Now, But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now watch, it wasn't that circumcision is a bad thing. Doctors disagree on it right today. They say it's proven that men with that aren't circumcised get more diseases from the infection of the bladder and prostate and so on. Women can get cancer and so on. Nobody's proved it. They just say it lies. You get one report one time, another report, and that's fine. If you're going to be medical, you can study it and do what you want to do. But when it comes to the scripture, you try to add circumcision, any rites whatsoever to the pure, unadulterated gospel of grace, and you blow it. I like what old Ralph Barnard said. He's one of my favorites. I suppose he could be dead by now. He watched Brother Branham. He sat there chuckling and grinning and say, praise the Lord. He said, that's great for you guys. He said, I like it. I just don't understand it. He said, but I like it. When he gave an altar call, he said, I will not call you to this altar, lest you put your faith in one step that you made toward God. You know something? That's the way Brother Branham had it. I wish he'd always stayed with it. He said, it's not an altar call, it's a water call. Brother Branham explained to me what I preached in Florida many, many years ago, not even knowing what I was preaching. When I hit the altar call, smack dab in the head, I took it to Pentecostals, and they could have ripped my stomach out and tromped on them. They became vitriolic and violent against me. They said, I made the altar an unclean thing. The altar is an unclean thing if you're Pentecostal. You put your faith in it and you think it means something. Christ is our altar. You believe the junk you've been taught over all these years. You circumcise your mind in order that your heart becomes circumcised. Now he said here, to Peter, I said to Peter, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are by nature not sinners of the Gentiles, we are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He tells you right here, Jesus had faith. That if he gave his life, that would do the trick. Then that's where you put your faith, is in the faith of Jesus. He had faith that if he died for our sins, he'd be raised again. Become the justifier, the mediator, and bring us to God. If you got faith in what Jesus did, what are you trying to add to it? Well, Brother Bill, I can make it look a little nicer. You cotton-picking heathen, you belong to Cain. I'll make it a little nicer. Just don't understand. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So he said, all right, now we've got to get circumcised. In other words, while I'm believing in Christ, I still present myself as a sinner. I've got to do something. You can't do it. This is the faith of Christ that you and I must endorse and you and I must get a handle on. And the true baptism with the Holy Ghost releases it. That's that faith. The simple faith like hyssop that you and I have, well, that's just because we're seeds of God. But you talk about this other in Peter. That's a different thing entirely. Peter says, for if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He tells you that. If you go back from this message, there isn't any hope. You're finished. You're shot. Yet you say, well, I'm looking for somebody who's really right. If you're looking for a paragon of virtues, in other words, somebody that's actually Jesus Christ, you are insane. spiritually insane. It is not that anybody ever lived the Word outside of Jesus Christ, but it's incumbent upon us to believe the Word. And I'll stand with Brother Branham making his call to the people. He said flat out like Samuel, "Have I ever lied to you? Have I taken your money? Or has this pulpit ever done it? Pogwash. I'll match you dollar for dollar and truth for truth any day of the week. I'm ashamed of nothing, neither do I boast. I just know where I stand." Now, what do you want for a nickel? You don't realize what I'm saying. I'm going to repeat at the white throne. What Brother Branham told me, I will look everyone in the eye at the white throne. And if I ever came from Brother Branham with a message to you, and you believe somebody else lying, I will meet you at the white throne. Because Benny, I didn't lie when that man lied to you. Brother Branham was not speaking about you, son. No way, shape, and form. The man lied. I've known Benny a long time. The white throne. God, I wish you had time for 6 hours to preach. You can't take it, and I can't take it either. There's so much to say. And so I may never say it again, I don't know. But if I build again, I go back to organization. I go back to works instead of the revealed faith. That's doctrine. I lose everything. But out of revealed faith comes an active faith. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by his own faith, but the faith of the Son of God. In other words, what Jesus himself had faith in. Ended. That's all. The old song that says, "Simply to thy cross I cling." I wonder, did that man know something of that woman that we don't know? I'm afraid it's true. That person likely did. If it was really inspired by God. If it was mere sentiment, I'm sorry, because, brother, sister, I'll be the first to admit, I live in too much sentiment. I don't need sentiment. I need reality. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ's own faith is shut. Christ died a fool. Died a fool. Why did he bother? Oh, foolish, listen now. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who put a spirit on you? Well, we'll let that blow over too. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth crucified among you. What is it to obey the truth? To believe those that God has sent. What are the works, they said, that we may have eternal life, we may believe, we may do this? He said, you believe on the one that I send. You believe on me whom God has sent. And if you believe on whomsoever I send, you recognize that I have been sent of God. That one has been sent of God. You are in the clear. Take it from there. That's the cornerstone. The cornerstone of the church has never failed. And the cornerstone of the church is the cornerstone of every single individual. Because John said we become a pillar in the temple of our God, and that's part of the foundation. And if you're not right with the Alpha, you'll never be right with the Omega. And the pillars are going side by side, but not in God's temple. But they're going side by side. Only this would I learn of you. You foolish Galatians, received you the Spirit by the works of law, by the hearing of faith. In other words, did you baptize yourself with the Holy Ghost? Did you get the measure of Spirit of God just by because something you did? Or did you have to stand right there and, as Pentecostal people do, plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that was fully efficacious for every sin? You have been justified. And now, through the mediator, Jesus Christ, you come right in the presence of Almighty God. Baptized in water. And stand there as candidates to get filled. And this is solely based upon a promise that comes from the faith of Jesus Christ. Now then, if you and I believe that Jesus is at the right hand of the Majesty on high, then we are believing in the faith of Jesus Christ himself and have a portion of it. Now, don't take that too far, because a lot of the world believes that too. I'm just telling you how it works. But Brother Branham tells you how Satan comes in and makes every one of those things think you've got it and you don't have it. The Catholic Church never did say that the Virgin Mary replaced Jesus Christ as the one who died and was the intercessor. They only made her a an adjunct to the Lord Jesus Christ to put a little more pressure on God. Now surely his mother, and she can do it too, will put pressure on Jesus and he'll put pressure on God. Yeah. And wasn't it Pope Pius the 12th who said to the whole Catholic world, Mary has ascended bodily and she is in heaven? And every theologian rose against it. Don't do that. It's wrong. You haven't got a leg to stand on. He said, I'm infallible, bless God. She's ascended. Well, hallelujah. Me may not know it, but here's a pair of keys that went in the air, and whether you know it or not, that is a $50 billion piece of gold. Now, sit it. So that makes it gold. I mean, are you so stupid you can't catch it? Ted Kennedy, a Roman Catholic, sits in Congress. He's got the same mind. Oh, maybe I shouldn't insult the Catholics by bringing him up. That's the truth. That's the truth. Listen, the Catholics said when Jack Kennedy ran, and they said, he's not fit to represent us. If he was a man like Smith that ran and couldn't get it. Well, Smith, wasn't it? Remember? Come on, you Americans. You're born down here. They said, there was a man. This guy's a womanizer. So is the devil. He's got a whole lot of them. Silly women. He led him captive. Listen. By the hearing of faith, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now he was speaking concerning himself, and this is what he said. He therefore that ministereth the Spirit to you, even working miracles among you. How does he do it? Paul vindicating his own ministry. And he brought him right to the point. He said, I am a vindicated person. Then why are you listening to these other people who have taken what I said and are changing? He didn't say they came with their own story. He said it was a perverted gospel. And what is something perverted? It is that which was real in the beginning. What is a lie? It is a truth misrepresented. Even as Abraham believed God, counted to him for righteousness. And right on down the line, the scripture foreseeing that God had justified the heathen through faith, peace, before the gospel of Abraham, saying, "And these shall all nations of the earth be blessed." So then they which be of faith are blessed with a faithful Abraham, not the Jews, but as many as are under the works shall are under the curse. For it's written, "Curse every one that continued not in that which is written in the book to do them." But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, "Curse everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the Spirit, promise of the Spirit through faith." Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannuls a man adds thereto. Not Abraham received where the promise is made. He set not his seeds as many, but as a one, to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot annul. He laid it right on the Jews and said, "How stupid can you get spiritually? You were given an original promise. Go back to it." And Brother Branham said, "It doesn't what matters, what's in between." Huh? You get what I'm talking about? The law was given between. The law was given between. The law was given between. So it doesn't matter what's given between. You don't look at it. You don't worry about it. What was given between the first age and this age is contaminated. It is death. But at the end time, nothing outside of this message comes to life. It is life. You ought to be running around the building screaming and me chasing you. All right. Now, I won't read the rest there. We're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 19. "My little children, whom I travail in birth again to Christ before you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." Now listen, this is a Gentile church that went back to what it came out of, which was heathen and Jewish. So it's an Exodus church. "Come out of her, my people, and be separate or you're gone." Now, he says here, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that, now watch, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise, actual election. Which things are an allegory. For there are two covenants. The one that come from Mount Sinai was genders to bondage, which is Agar. In other words, he's giving an allegory, an illustration from the Old Testament. He's telling him something. There are two churches in existence now, and one is in bondage and will be. And they'll be judged at the white throne, and they will go to the lake of fire. Now I'm telling you this. This is the Bible. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, Mount Zion, which is from above, is free, and which is the mother of us all. Now that's a wrong interpretation. It's our mother. It doesn't say mother of us all. Look in the margin. How could it be mother of us all and be an allegory about two different groups of people? Fat. That's stupid. You know, it couldn't mean that. Which is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." What's he talking about? He's talking about Sarah who couldn't have a baby. Positively couldn't. Now who was the desolate? The woman he kicked out. She could have babies like a pup litters. Or dog litters. Pig's litter. No problem. Very, very few in the bride. Millions out there. Doesn't have a husband. Yet at the end time, she says, "I am no widow. I'm a queen. My husband's a king." That's God. That's why Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Because he's the son of the king. Melchizedek was king of peace. King of peace, principes. She says, I'm the wife of the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm queen. I'm the widow. Oh, my God. Now, listen. She's got way more kids. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even it is so now. Now, listen. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Seed is not heir with the shuck. What is the shuck? Pentecost. Last day church. Yeah, people want to go back to Pentecost. Get these preachers coming and say they believe Brother Branham. All they want to do is shout and scream and run around everything under God's high heaven to get to the word. What are they? I don't understand. How much time we got? Huh? Tim, are you about done? Well, that's nice. I got about one page done. When you come back another day? All right, I'm sorry about that, but that's what we're looking at. I had to get this to let you know what we are talking about in this message here. And understand categorically, as it was in the beginning, it is at the end. The very same gospel of Paul must come back. And how's it going to come back? Anybody knows there's only going to be one way. How in the world was it given? Then this man stands there by vindication and said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. They say, oh boy. You know, he had a great ministry, but you see, that happens to everybody that has a ministry. They get puffed up and carried away, you know, and even attribute themselves something and blah, blah. What about Dr. Price? Well, he's a fine man. He was educated. He was the most brilliant scholar as a child. Even won prizes, this and that. Oh, didn't he get fall? Didn't he get caught up when his great ministry began to fail? And there's no man ever had a ministry in the spirit, physically, that did not fail. Always they go to the word, and Dr. Price was off the word. You think Oral Roberts is on the word? Come on, I challenge you. You before God, you find me one person that had a great ministry, that ministry did not end, and he went to teaching. I'll prove to you. I can show you the Bible. I can show you history. Even Jesus Christ's ministry ended, and he began teaching. William Branham's. But they were vindicated as of God. Not saying other men weren't, but it wasn't the hour to bring the gospel back. You watch, and you'll understand. Twins. 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 And remember, we haven't got to it yet. I haven't got that. I'm going to read all of Matthew 10, but not today. We're going to close. But I want to warn you that this message, the crux of the whole thing, is getting across to you the time element of twins. And before Antichrist could come on the scene, Spirit of Christ had to come on the scene. You understand what I'm saying? Before there was error, there had to be truth. How long? What is the discrepancy? What is the time? I don't know. But when he came down there, it was for the purpose of separation, exoneration, and judgment. And people say, well, now just a minute. It should happen just like this. It doesn't happen simultaneously. It can't. Because truth has got to come first. Then how soon error sets in, I don't know. And I'm not here to tell you. But I am here to tell you, watch it. Or you'd be just like the world out there and they say, nah, that couldn't be that. Yeah, that couldn't be that. Yeah, that couldn't be that. That couldn't be that. And as soon as we get back to reading Brother Branham, you're going to find that he said, we read it already here in paragraph 18. He said they can't get the time right. What about you and me? Well, I think I preached any anointing off of my head. How about you? But if I preach hard enough, and to the point. If you haven't got it, it's not my fault. If you have got it, it's still not my fault. I'm neutral. That tries to be dismissed. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Thou who art God, who resides in the heavens, yes, that is true in the particular understanding of Your sovereignty, grace, and majesty. But we understand even now, You're here in the form of a pillar of fire to raise the dead and to bring us into a millennium. And Lord, I know that no matter how hard I preach with what conviction to persuade men, if I'm preaching wrong, it's still wrong. Voluminous words, Lord, and much emphasis, all amounts to hot air, Lord, if it isn't the breath of God behind it all. In this hour, Lord, a true revelation by the Spirit of God. I know, Lord, the prophet brought a true revelation. And I believe by Your own Spirit, Lord, what the prophet said, I believe that a revelation goes forth from this pulpit, Lord, preaching Your word as the prophet preached it. If we don't do it, I just pray for one thing. Spare me, O God, to preach it any longer. And You might be kind in this last hour, therefore, Lord, to just simply eliminate me, that I might not have to face the judgment, which I know I've got to face down the road. I've got to stand there. Positively, whether I preach the truth or not, it's going to come right down, whether I was right or not with the word. And then, Lord, if people believed it and I was wrong, then I'm responsible to them too. Then where does it leave me and leave them? It is not a good thing, Lord. But it is a good thing, Lord, if we should be right. And by the grace of God, we trust we are right, Lord. We may be in the arena before men, but there is a God in heaven above the arena. Hallelujah. They fed them to lions, Lord, and to tigers and gladiators. Oh, they said, this is it. We control the arena. But Caesar didn't control the arena. Even Herod thought he was so smart until he thought he was so great that you let worms eat him up. Died by worms eating him up. Already a dead carcass. And still walking around. Sounds like the AIDS, Lord. All of these things. Very peculiar situation. Father God, no one can make mock of You, Lord. No one can put You in derision. You can put the world in derision. You can mock the world. It's true because You can do it. Help us to see these things that Thou art God. But help us also to see, Lord, by grace we are Your people. We are the flock of Your hands, Lord. Certainly we are. The children of Your pasture. We are Your sheep. You are the vine, Lord. By grace we are the branches. Somehow, Father, we know that by this faith, that what Jesus did on Calvary, and now, Lord, the same Spirit coming down and doing in this hour, Lord, of vindication and judgment, this hour, Lord, of separation, somehow, O God, we rise by Your grace, by the faith we have in You, Lord. We rise to that occasion, Lord, to be a part of this group which have gathered to the true word of life and should be separated unto the separation of the rapture. Father, don't we pray there not be one sick amongst us that isn't healed. We know the prophet said to take this message for a healing. We ask You, Lord, this morning to help us to do that. We know, Lord, it goes far beyond a bodily thing in the sense of somebody getting a healing in the body, no longer bothered with kidney problems or kidney stones or bad liver, cancer, blindness, anything else. We know it goes way beyond that. It goes right to immortality because You have risen with immortality in Your wings. But, Lord, we know that that did not obviate any scripture that says, by Your stripes we're healed. And the prophet constantly, almost to a harangue, went after us to believe Mark 16, which we do believe today, Lord. May the sick, O God, be healed amongst us. He Himself said, hey, hands don't need to be laid upon you. In other words, this is something, Lord, that's all by grace. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, moving and working in us through us, and the Spirit healing us. Help us to see that, Lord. To just sink right into it. Casting all our cares upon You, for You care for us. Every child, Lord, represented here, every family, O God, we ask for them. We feel so tragically stricken, Lord, for little children especially. Coming into this world in this hour, Lord, already the signs of sickness amongst us. God, where we sin, forgive us our sins, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and sanctify us, wash us by the washing of water by this word, Lord. We can present ourselves before You, even as the lepers did. Unclean, but not unclean. Heal us this morning, O God. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.